Let's jump into Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to go through it, okay? Is everybody there? You can't bottle feed Ezekiel and read the word at the same time? Okay. So here we go. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Lord, bless this time of the reading of your word. Open our ears, our eyes, our hearts to receive everything you want us to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7 starts, he's speaking to Christians here, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Verse 11, see what large letters I use to write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised, these Judaizers. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about the flesh. Verse 14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule or principle, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And verse 18 concludes the letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit, brothers. And then he says, amen. So as we are in this book of Galatians, if I could come up with one word for today, last month it was others, as we were going through Galatians chapter 6, and the main word was others. If I could kind of encapsulate everything into one word for today's teaching, for the end of the book of Galatians, that one word would be choices. Choices. That's the word. Choices. We all make them. We all have them. When he's talking about reaping and sowing, and he's talking, you know, to farmers and you know, Schettelbauer, for those of you who don't know, means head farmer. Hopefully it doesn't mean head farmer, but hopefully, like, lead farmer, head farmer. Okay, so I come from a family of farmers on both sides of the family, and I can tell you that, you know, being a farmer is not the glamorous life. I can think of, I recognize lots of names in the tech industry and politics, and I really can't think, I mean, thinking back my whole life, one star-studded farmer. But God calls us, what was that?
Old McDonald.
Oh, McDonald. Yeah. Hey, I don't even know if he was, I just know he had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Anyway. But these principles for farming, he's teaching us. The Lord is teaching us. And they're true. We are these seed scatterers. He just like he's made us fishers of men, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's made you a farmer to scatter seeds in the word of God. That's what he's done. Now listen, there was an old saying, and I liked it, so I put it up here. And it starts with a choice in our thinking. It says, sow a thought, and you reap an act. Sow an act, and you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you'll reap a character. Sow a character, and you'll reap a destiny. Now, I like what C.S. Lewis had to say about choices and sowing and reaping, because you're at a crossroads in your life, and we're at a crossroads here in America and with everything that's going on, and maybe in the choices that you're making. And when I see this little picture I made for this, it to me tells us which way do we go. And C.S. Lewis, who was the author from Mere Christianity, said every time you make a choice, every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses into something a little different from what it was before. You are slowly turning this central thing either into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. That's pretty strong, isn't it? When I think about this sowing and reaping, this is kind of a little saying that I came up with. And it says, and I put it up here, if you want to learn to grow well in the Lord or help others to grow well, then you have to learn to sow well. And so what we're going to do, using these scriptures that we just read in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to give some principles of sowing and reaping from the Bible, from these verses, that should be able to help us. And I really like the songs that were picked for today because they matched exactly what the Lord was giving me for the word. And I thought, wow, as I heard that song, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that matches too. And that's when I know, because we didn't talk about it, that's when I know the Holy Spirit is working. And if he's working there and he's working there and they're matching up, that means he has a message for you to receive, right? That's amazing to me. So here are some principles of sowing and reaping for all of us, okay? Here's principle number one. Principle number one is we reap and sow in a limited time. Okay? Just like farmers have a certain amount of time to plant their seeds, to till the ground, to plant their seeds, to water their seeds, right? And harvest them before the season ends, or there's no future harvest. So too, you have a limited time here. You have a limited season to be scattering these seeds. Now, this might not be, oh, Pastor, I was really hoping, I brought the guests, and I'm hoping for a really encouraging, I'm watching online, and I was really hoping that this would be an encouraging, and you're saying that, hey, you're only here for a limited time. Yep. That's what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you a good thing, if you'll hear it, and the Spirit will receive what I'm saying. So we reap and sow in a limited time. Just as those farmers have a certain amount of time, you and I, we have a certain amount of time here. And you have to choose. It's your choice to make the best of it. I can't make that decision for you. Even now, are you listening? Are you listening online? Are you talking? Are you paying attention? He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say. Listen, there's a time in James when we talked through the book of James. I wish we got it on video. We got it on audio, so that was good. But in James, it was talking about, hey, you don't even need to talk about what you're going to do tomorrow. Hey, next year I'm going to do this business. I'm going to do this thing. You don't even know what tomorrow holds, it says. Listen, James chapter 4, verse 14 says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And then he goes, what is your life? And I love this scripture. Well, what'd you say? A vapor. You are a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's why I like the scripture picture. You and I, we don't know how long we're going to be here, right? So God is saying, make good use of this season. Make good use of your time. Scatter the seeds. Water the seeds. Harvest the seeds. Pay attention to the garden, to the farm, to the growing, right? We need to remember that we've got that limited time. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. Because if we fix that in our mind, then we're going to be more about the Lord's business and less about our business. Does that make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? There was a song, I can't remember who sang it. You know, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Okay, so I don't know what, but it's in the back of my mind. And that's what I remember when I made the scripture picture. This, Steve Miller Band. Yeah, Steve Miller Band. That's right. Who said that? Okay, you guys get an A, whoever that was. So That's Psalm 90, verse 12. And that's what it, remember, when I made this scripture picture, that's what I was thinking. It says, God says, listen, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that you may be about my business, that you may become wise, realizing that you're investing in the future for me. He says, look, and sometimes we need to be reminded. I have a tremendous forget. Those of you who know me, you know, Pastor Gary said, hey, when did you, okay, we went on the Footsteps of the Apostle Paul tour with Dave Guzik and Miles and those guys. We had such a blast, man. I mean, we're just to kick back, hang out with Guzik. It was amazing. Went all over the world in these same places where Jesus walked. Paul, and yeah, about how long did you go, was that, Pastor Darren? And I have no clue. 2019, thanks. Mary Kate knows. I don't even know. I need to be reminded of a lot of stuff, okay? I tremendous zeal and power and all, but I forget. Time is, and so I need to be reminded. And the Bible says that. And we need to be reminded. We have tremendous forgetteries. That's probably not a word, but. We're a vapor, like Pastor Gary said. The Bible says in Psalm 39:5, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. And the reason is so that you'll be about the Lord's biz. Does that make sense? Do you remember those, the teens helped me, so they might have to help me again. Those things that you pick, you blow on them. Dandelions. Yes. Okay, so up in Chicago, we had a lot of those dandelions. Do you remember those things? You know what I'm talking about, right? I've got a picture in my next scripture picture, but what you would do is, and they have some here, I guess. Some of the kids were telling me. I haven't seen a lot of them, but you pick them, and then what? You don't eat them. Don't ever do that. Anyway, if you blow on them as a kid, you know, and you remember those, and they go off in the wind, all those places. Do you remember that? And the Bible says, for man is but a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. That's what it says in Psalm 144:4 in the Living Bible. And the thought is, the words that we speak, the actions that we do, just like blowing in the wind. I almost said dust in the wind, but I didn't. Just like that, those little things that are being blown about as you speak, as you live, as you go about your day, your business, your family, your husband, your wife, your kids. Those things, what are those things that float away in a dandelion? You're planting seeds. You're scattering seeds. Does that make sense? Those can be either good, godly seeds, or they can be seeds of the flesh. The Bible says all people are like grass. It's glass. No, they're not. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the fields. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of our Lord stands forever. So when you're scattering seeds of the Lord and the word of God, that's going out every time you speak, every time you live, every time actions go. I spoke something this morning that I had to go apologize for. I had the seed of the flesh. I did it in anger, and I had to go back and ask forgiveness. But that's what we do as Christians, right? If we mess up, we ask forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me for that. Person A, please forgive me for that, and let me scatter good seeds and go back. Does that make sense? I love this saying of C.T. Studd, and I've used it multiple times, but it says, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. That's it. That's what's going to last for eternity. Number two in the principles of sowing and reaping, we reap the same kind as what we sow. We reap the same kind as what we sow. In other words, if you're planting squash, don't expect to get a harvest of grapes, right? If you're planting sinful thoughts, garbage in, expect garbage out. Well, I don't know. I'm struggling, Pastor, with all the, you know, the sinful thoughts. Well, what are you watching? Well, I'm watching. What are you looking at me? Oh, yeah, there's that. Listen, if you're planting sinful thoughts and sinful actions, you're going to reap bad consequences. Pastor, I can't tell you how many times this has happened. Okay, so listen, if anybody here thinks I'm talking to them or anybody who's listening later online, because we have a lot of people who watch, the bottom line is I'm not. I'm speaking this as a general thing I've observed. I've watched so many people seeking the Lord, growing in the Lord. And this is just, for example, one little thing. A common thing is, I just don't want to go on Sundays. I'm feeling too pressured. You know what? I got to work. I'm going to work on Sunday. Now listen, I get it. But can I tell you, respectfully, what I've seen probably, I would say 95% of the time, I can't say 100, because God's bigger than that, right? This is not a legalistic thing. I'm just telling you what I've observed. I have watched over time, especially like I got to work on Sundays. What I tell people is, you know what? I would really pray about that, because 95% of the time, that's a slow fade. It's not their hearts aren't bad. I'm not saying anybody's evil or doing. It's just I got to work on Sunday. Well, can you ask for it off? Oh, they won't give it to me, so I can't. Well, you know what? If it comes right down to it, get another job. What? That seems a little. I'm telling you, 95% of the time, over 25 years, when somebody starts working on a Sunday, I would say, and Mark's shaking his head, if you've been in the ministry for a long time, it starts a slow fade. Almost every time. And there's really, and some of them have good, godly reasons. I'm telling you. Stop, rearrange your schedule to get to church, to get to that Bible, whatever it is, because the Lord is the priority, and he will reward you. Same thing with giving. Listen, I don't know what anybody gives, so this is not a plea for money. You don't want to give? Don't give. But I'm watching, and I've watched in my own life over 25 years, when I give generously, somehow I get more back. When there are times when I don't give because I've forgotten or I just can't this. I can't. All of a sudden, I have less money. Now, the times when I've given more and I can't do it, somehow there's more money. I can't even tell you exactly how it happens. But if you walk with the Lord for a long time, these things happen. So we need to be planting seeds of God's word and godly actions so that we can reap blessings from the Lord. Growth, strengthening, discernment, character, all these things, right? And that might mean putting off an Instagram on your phone or Netflix to show and taking a little bit more of the word or purposely listening to some worship. My wife does this a lot. She'll put worship on the TV at the house. Now, I don't know. I listen to stuff like that all the time, so... Oh, here we go again, listening to it at the house. I listen to 24/7. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm feeling a little bit better. I don't know why. I'm feeling a little more godly, a little better mood. I'm asking, praise. And somehow my attitude just starts changing. Imagine that. So the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to you. He says, don't be deceived. That means we can be. And that word deceived is plenao in the Greek. And it means to be led away or to wander or roam from safety. So just, you know what? I'm not doing anything evil, bad. I'm just going to go over here. I'm just wandering this direction. Tra-la-la-la-lee. It's not bad. It's not evil. I'm just wandering away. But it also means to be led astray. Like when I grab you by the hand... And I say, hey, bud, let's just go this way. Let's just do this thing. Come on, no big deal, right? What's a little bit? It means to be led astray into deception, into error. Listen, it means to be seduced. Now, that should conjure up some images. The enemy is also not only your flesh wandering away, but also the enemy is trying to seduce you away. So you don't renew your mind and renew your thoughts. So he's saying, don't be deceived. He said, God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. And that means that word God cannot be mocked is mukterizo. And it means to turn your nose up at it. Like, hey, God's still blessing me, right? I'm doing wrong. God's still blessing my business. God's still blessing my relationship. I'm doing wrong. God's still taking care of me, and I'm doing this and that. So, listen, you will always pay a cost. It might be down the road. That's what happens. Well, God's being merciful, and I'm still getting away with it. Well, yeah, what I've learned from making mistakes, and unfortunately, a lot of them, is that God won't be mocked. Don't trick yourself. Don't let the enemy trick you. You will have to pay a price. It may be 5 years, 5 weeks, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, 10 years. You'll pay a price. You don't want that because he won't be mocked. He won't be mocked. And it pictures the idea of scorn. Oh, God, whatever. A man will reap what he sows. And then it goes on, the one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. I can't remember the Greek word for destruction, but it means decay. It means rot, like a slow rotting fade, a slow rotting decay. So if you're going to sow to please your sinful nature, you're going to reap that slow rotting decay. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That's also in the future, but that's a good thing. Does anybody know the group Casting Crowns? Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about. Oh, well, okay, good. Good. Okay, so I like them. And they've got a song that I like. It's about choices. And it's about reaping what you sow. And it says, here, it's called Slow Fade. Anybody hear of it? Right? Okay. It goes, I can't sing it, so but I'm going to try. It goes, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. And that's exactly true. Don't be deceived. We will reap. God won't be mocked. You reap what you sow. So here's number three. Principles in sowing and reaping. We reap and sow in a limited time. We reap the same kind as we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. Can I tell you what? I don't like this one. This is my least favorite principle. I'm an Insta guy. I like things immediately. Okay, I want the immediate reaction. I want the immediate encouragement. I'm such an AD. I'm like this. If it takes a long time, I'm not designed naturally for that. God is like, oh, guess what? I'm going to show you to do. You're going to have to do things that are the opposite of what you are naturally. So, just like farmers don't plant seeds, we have my grandpa Shettelbauer had a farm in Michigan, and he would take me up there, and he would tilt the ground. He'd have this, you know, wire around it, protected it, and he wouldn't pull up a chair and just sit and watch the seed grow after he planted it. It takes time, and a long time. In that same way, when you're speaking to people, when you're sharing with people, when you're living a life in front of people, that takes time. And sometimes it's not even received. But they will bear fruit after a long period of time and many times in a different season. Sometimes it takes many years. If you've ever planted an orange tree, like if you've done a fun thing like that, like a fruit-bearing tree, you got to be way patient with that thing. I want to rip it up. I'm like, it's been a year. Where's the fruit? But when it comes to people, sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes years. It's another family. It's not here today. But I know. Can I say their names? Yeah. So Stephen, Sarah, Billy, you know, I remember ministering to them a long time ago. Actually, in the days of long, and now they're talking to me about the Lord. They're praying, you know. And they disappeared for a while. In fact, I got to be honest. Now Stephen's in law enforcement and things like that. It was actually at the time rejected. Yeah, it was very depressing. It was depressing. But the seeds were planted. And sometimes that takes somebody else is going to come along and water them. Somebody else is coming to till the ground. Somebody else is going to fertilize. Well, maybe that's the wrong word. But you know what I'm saying. So we have to be patient. If you work with kids, you're a mom or daddy. Oh, my goodness. God bless you. Let me tell you. You want to know patience? Now, if you have teenagers here, oh, you have to be mega patient. You might even get a few. You still sow. Can I just tell you? You know what we're going to be doing? Can I tell you a little secret? What the church is going to be doing a year or two from now? And the school is going to be doing a year or two from now? Right? Whether everybody's happy or everybody's sad, you know what we're going to be doing?
Planting seeds.
Exact same thing. I don't know what to say. You hate us? You love us? We have people that go out here, they actually hate us. And then they come back years later. Man, I'm sorry. Because when you're not in that mindset, if you're following the Lord, I think most of the time people are going to like us. Not everything we do or the timing of things, but you're going to like it. If you're not following the Lord, well, then you're going to see everything a little differently. Cramming this stuff. Why are we doing this? So you know what? Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, scatter the seeds. Gary has a saying that I'm not responsible for results. I just have to be faithful and make the choice, scatter seeds. And I receive it. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? Oh, that was so lame. If what?
We do not give up.
Absolutely. So don't give up. Yeah, but you go, Pastor, you don't understand how difficult it is for me. It's not this way for everybody, I'm sure. But for me, you don't understand the tears. My husband, my wife, my kids, my job, my school, my church, my this, my that. We all go through it. My fears, my anxiety, we all go through it. And can I tell you something? What the Bible says in Psalm 126:5, I like how the New Living Translation says this. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Now, still when I'm planting in those tears, I have to read this scripture, even after 25 years. Because I'm like, I don't need to plant nothing. They're not going to want to receive it. I can do something else and be happy doing it. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Number four, oh my goodness, we have not gotten very far. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. When you plant an apple tree or an orange tree, imagine if you just planted one seed, an orange tree, you waited 10 years with that sucker, and you got one orange. You'd be like, but it produces more, right? And so when you... Somebody ministered to me. I berated those Christians. I rejected my best friend who was, you know. God created those plants for fruitfulness and for multiplication. So you just know when you're investing that seed here, there, there, it's going to produce fruit, God willing, in the future. And multiple fruits. I can tell I've been able to bless a lot of people because other people planted seeds in me. In the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, it says that he was scattering seeds. Some go along the word to scatter seeds, which he says is the word of God on the soil of our hearts. Some get hard-hearted, and it's hard ground. It says, when the seed gets scattered, the enemy comes immediately in, picks it up, and takes it away. Bye. Some, it's on shallow ground. And it starts to spring up, but there's no real root. Can't go down in good soil. And it says, when persecution, hardship, trouble comes in, forget about it. They're gone. I'm out of here. And then there's some that it starts to grow, but because they're so involved in other things, cares of the world, anxieties, jobs, this, that, their soul focus is so off, it chokes the fruit out. The weeds grow up around it. But there's some, it says, the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. Booyah. And lastly, number five, this is important if you've faded off. Number five, we can't change past harvests, only future ones. Some harvests are non-existent. Some are scarce. Then other ones, you're like blown away, bumper crops or bumper seasons. You're like, woohoo, it was great. But don't live in the past. If you want to reap future crops, plant right now. Right now, today. Today. Everybody, anybody, well, you probably will, but anybody know who this is?
Alfred Nobel.
Alfred Nobel, you are correct. This is the Nobel Peace Prize. It's about yay big. It's made of like solid gold. Well, in the 80s, it was solid gold. 178 grams. Now it's like gold, silver, mercury. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, for those of you who don't know his story, Alfred Nobel, he was the inventor. His main claim to fame? Dynamite. Now, Alfred Nobel, he was a Swedish chemist, okay? And he awoke one morning and he read this in his, he read his own obituary in a local newspaper. And this is what he read that surmised his life. Okay, you ready for this? This is what he read himself. It read, Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before. And he died a very rich man, which he was very rich from that invention. It was actually Alfred's older brother who had died. The newspaper reporter bungled the epitaph. So when Alfred Nobel read this and he got to look at his life, it had a tremendous impact on him. And he said he wanted to be remembered for something different. As a result, he initiated the Nobel Peace Prize to reward individuals who foster peace. Now, whether they give it out to the right person or not, yeah. But he gave his fortune for that. And he said this, and this is important. He said, listen to this. He said, every man ought to have a chance to correct his own epitaph in midstream and write a new one. And can I tell you something? You do too, right here today. You may be walking with the Lord doing a good thing, but maybe God's reminding you, revving you back up. Let him do it. My wife has a saying that I really liked, and I adopted it as my own. I changed it a bit. So it's kind of hers, kind of a Chinese proverb, then I made it my own, whatever. It says, the best time to plant a tree that will bear fruit was 20 years ago. Okay? But the second best time is right now. People, sometimes we get stuck in the past, right? The old things, the old hurts, the old... Blah, blah. Here's what the Bible says. And I remember the first time God gave me this scripture verse, it was a prophetic word. I went with this pastor. I don't even remember who the pastor is. I literally can't remember this day. He asked me to come along to this couple and visit them. They had some really terrible stuff happen to them. And the Lord, in the middle of everything, this guy gave me a prophetic word for them. Ugh, I didn't even, never even read this next verse I'm going to share with you before. And it was for them. I don't even remember the people. I don't even, just planted a seed. God had me plant a seed. But this was their verse, and they just started crying. I didn't even know. I said, just open their Bible to this and read it, because God has a word for you. I didn't even know what it said, and this is what it was. Forget the former things. It's from Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, God says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up in you. Do you perceive it? Do you hear it? Do you understand it? And he says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in a wasteland. That's what his living water does. And wherever he goes, there's going to be life and growth. Does that make sense? So start now, today, because the world around you is getting trashier. So much garbage all around, we're drowning in it. That's why I love this scripture picture, because in that, we could just shut down. But God says just the opposite in Galatians 6:10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. But he says, but especially to those who are in the household of faith. So you do good to everybody as a Christian, but especially to those right here in this body, right here to other Christians. Look for ways to be a blessing. Paul says this in, I can't remember, I think it was Ephesians. Was it? Yeah, Ephesians 5:15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as wise but as unwise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Gary, how long is it? Okay, verse 11. And then he says something. This has caused a little bit of controversy, this next verse. He goes to verse 11 in your Bibles, in Galatians 6:11. He says, as he's writing this stuff about sowing, he's like, look, see what large letters I use to write to you with my own hand. And some people are like, why did he put that there? And I'm going to tell you, there's three schools of thought. I'm going to tell you which one I think it is, but any of them apply. So if you don't agree with me, it's okay. The first one is that he was rebuking these Galatians. Now, Paul would, back in the New Testament times, he would dictate, right, as would a lot of the disciples, and they would have a scribe or a secretary write it down, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then so why would he write these in big letters? Here's what three people say, or I shouldn't say three major schools of thought. One is that some think he was rebuking the Galatians for spiritual immaturity, using large letters, like, duh, look what I'm telling you, large letters, wake up, McFly. Okay, maybe. He called them foolish Galatians because they're falling into legalism, but I don't think that's it. Some others, scholars think that he had to make the letters so big because of his poor eyesight. He had bad eyes, and so he made it really big. I just couldn't help it. And it also, he's saying that authenticated the letter. Could be. That's a little bit more plausible to me, but I think it's this third one. But any of those can be. I think it was because he's simply using the large letters in his own hand for emphasis and for validation. Like, can I tell you, when I send you a text, if I have ever done this, and I have said, I am praying for you, and sometimes I'll put the praying in caps. Why are you shouting at me? Because I want you to know I'm praying, or I'll say, God bless you. Emphasis on the blessing. Or I'll just say, love you, dude. Big love. I want you to know all the heart mustard of the Lord I can give. I think that's what he's doing. He's trying to tell them about the sowing and reaping. Does that make sense? All right, verse 13, 14. He goes on to say, not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Oh, sorry, forgive me. I forgot 12. So 12 and 13, verse 12 and 13, my apologies. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised, these Judaizers. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Verse 13 says, not even those who are circumcised obey the whole law, yet they want you to be circumcised that you may boast about your flesh. Well, that's the opposite of what God wants us to do. He wants us to boast about Christ. Oh, what did I have in that last? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I like what Chuck Swindoll had to say about these verses. He said the Judaizers in Galatia compelled these guys to be circumcised, okay, to make a good showing in the flesh. But who were they trying to impress? Paul says they were trying to avoid persecution from two sources, the Romans and the Jews. And just so you know, the Romans accepted, if you were a Jew and you were circumcised, they you're okay in the Roman provinces. And so, but if you were a Christian, well, let me tell you, you were persecuted even unto death. Same thing with the Jews. Hey, do you know who handed Jesus over to be crucified? You know who was persecuting Paul, who stoned him, who beat him all? You know who did that? The Jews. So to do so by compulsion, make these guys get circumcised, become a Jew first before they become a Christian, not only betrayed Christ, who was the mediator of the new covenant, but also set up a religion that was all show and no substance. The Judaizers simply wanted to get a get-out-of-persecution-free card and boast about their hard-earned converts. And when it comes to boasting, he said, we're still tempted to boast in the flesh today. We place a notch in our belts when our baptism numbers swell or evangelistic efforts. We keep close tabs on attendance at services, Sunday school, special events. The numbers game is the most fleshly game congregations play. Another game is we play is the glamour gets glitz and glamour game. The bigger and flashier our Sunday morning productions are, the more we feel we've worshipped. Bright lights, loud bands, big budgets, huge crowds, and hyped up emotional responses mean nothing if it lacks substance. Do you know the head of the Loving Hands? Well, you know what he told me yesterday? No, he didn't tell me yesterday. Last Sunday, he took me aside. He said, man, he's like, wow. He said, this is really beautiful. This encouraged my heart. I didn't get to tell him it encouraged me. He says, listen, man, you guys really teach the word here. I really do. And I'm like, oh, thanks, bro. I appreciate that. He's like, you don't understand. He's like, we're at a lot of churches, and we're thankful to them because they provide. But we're at a lot of churches and a lot of different areas. You wouldn't believe what's out there. You wouldn't believe what they're teaching or focusing on. You wouldn't believe it. He's like, but you guys teach the word. He's like, well, we're not that big and fancy. He's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, you guys are changing lives. That's paraphrased, but that's what he was saying. Because you're emphasizing the word. I can tell you, I'm a knucklehead apart from Christ. Can we get an amen? Yeah, you'd have to be mad at this. But it's true.
We are too.
And thank you, brother. He said, we are too. But the word doesn't return void. So that's why we focus on it, right? Does that make sense? These last few verses as we close out the book of Galatians. I love this scripture picture too. Galatians 6:14 says, listen, let's not boast in numbers or this or that or the flesh or how great we are or what we do. All of it's because of Christ. So it says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If we want to boast in something, Jeremiah 9 says, boast that you know me, Jesus says. God says, boast about that. Listen, and we've been crucified. Galatians 2:20. I always think of the song when I hear this. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember that one? And yet I live, but it's Christ that lives within me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's my life. That's your life. Hey. Galatians 6:15 in the New Living Translation says, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. All these legalistic things they were trying to push on us. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation.
Amen.
You were going this direction, and God's like, I want you to go this direction now. You were focused on this junk. I want you to focus on me now. I want you to scatter seeds now. Does that make sense, everybody? And when it talks about boasting too, you want to hear something funny? Can I tell you an embarrassing story real quick?
Sure.
Listen to this. You know how it says don't boast in anything except the cross of Christ? Remember that last verse or verse right before that? As I got to this verse, I wanted to get something different. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yep.
We're new creations. That's what really matters. Can I tell you what? The Lord got me this morning. I have a great scripture picture for this. I was going to pull it up. I was like, oh, I just used it. I'll get somebody else's and I'll put it up here. As I was going online, right? We've got a website with all these scripture pictures on it. It's called scripturepicture.org now, right? And it's on Instagram. People are started being blessed and whatever. Good, great. And it's for Bible study teachers, other pastors. So I'm looking for this. I type it in and I see, lo and behold, I see the scripture picture that I made. Sometimes, believe it or not, this is the best thing I could give you. When I give you scripture pictures, sometimes it takes me an hour or two to make one of these dumb things. Excuse me, I shouldn't say dumb things because they're not at all. So I'm looking at this verse and I see somebody took my scripture picture and put it up on the web. And this is what really ticked me off. They just reversed where the picture, aside the picture, they put their stamp on it. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, that's my scripture picture. And it was a big, important ministry. Big place. I won't say who it is. Don't ask me afterwards. I'm still not going to tell you. And then I said, oh. And he's like, oh, that does that offend you? I'm like, absolutely. The Lord spoke to my heart. It does. I'm like, that's ours. That's Home Fellowship Churches. That's the scripture. We've done that. I spent 2 hours on that. He's like, oh, you really seem boastful about that. Well, wait a minute. What is that? Let no one boast except, because I'm actually up. I'm like, oh, I'm so ticked off. They just put their stamp on it. Like, wait, why are you boasting about it? You just, right. Sorry, Lord. It's, praise God, the word's getting out there, right? They want to put their stamp. They have to deal with the Lord. Praise God, right? Does it matter? Right? Does it matter? It's getting out there. Isn't that really the truth? So I was like, oh, I see what you're doing there, Lord. You're the man. See, I tell you all my embarrassing stories. Anyway, let's finish this up. Last couple. Galatians 6:16 says, may God's peace and mercy upon all who live by this rule or this principle, or the principles of sowing and reaping, you know, peace and mercy to you, because they're the new people of God. They're the new creation that God's talking about. And that's what we are. And then it goes on to say in these last, 17 and 18? And we'll close with this. It says, finally, let no one cause me trouble, because that's what they were doing. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And can I tell you something real quickly? If you really love Jesus, I always thought people would just love me if I just loved people with the love of Christ, or I just helped them or encouraged them. Can I tell you what? That's not the case. And if they're not following the Lord, they actually come to resent you and resent it and not like you and attack you. It's terrible. But the Lord is my supplier. The Bible says this, and you have to know, just like Paul in Paul's day, just like, there we go. Jesus said, remember what I told you, and this is for you and me. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. That, unfortunately, that's the fact. Get used to it, and it's going to increase. Oh, you think, I'm a pro-life, people will really appreciate that, because I'm not a jerk about it. I'm not mean about it. Oh, they're going to hate you. Do it anyway. It pleases the Lord. In fact, here's a promise that I've never seen on a bumper sticker ever to this day. You ready? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, everyone will be persecuted. Maybe if you're not, maybe examine how you're living your life. And then finally, I'll get that. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. And to that he says, amen. Any questions or comments before we close out in prayer? I don't really have any idea where the microphone went. Oh, thank you, Chris. Would you run that back there? And
Could you go back to
2
Corinthians?
Yes, I can. It's funny you went on that one, but yes.
This is really important for every believer.
Okay.
And that is that word new, have become new, old things are passed away.
Yes.
When we are born again, we are quantitatively and quality new, all new, all the old stuff.
Yep.
This wasn't a remodel job.
Right.
This is a new building.
Yeah.
So if we are carrying around our junk from the past, if we are carrying around the hurts from the past, if we are carrying around the things that we have done to others or others have done to us, it's all passed away.
Amen. And then I'll just leave us with this. It's because I like it, and then we'll pray. It was a scripture verse. If I can find it again. There we go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Father, I just say thank you that you have made a way for each one of us here, Lord God, to follow you, Lord God, that you are making streams in a desert, in a garbage dump, Lord, around us, Lord, a desert, a dry, a burning heat, Lord, we're so thirsty, and yet you're just making pathways of living water through all that, Lord. Use us, Lord. Do something new in us, Lord God. Make that pathway straight, Lord. Fill us with your living water that we can overflow to others, Lord. Help us to be seed scatterers, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be found faithful. Help us to be making the good choices, Lord God, to sow and reap, Lord, and to not give up, Lord God. And help us, Lord, to grow to become the men and women you desire us to be, regardless of what this world says. We ask for your blessing on this congregation and all the beautiful listeners at home, Lord, that watch this video during the week, Lord God, or are watching live online. Blessings to you. May you be sower and reapers in Jesus' name. Amen.